From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. This week, NPR's Morning Edition will have a series of reports from Venezuela. Now, my co-host Jasmine Garst will be traveling with the team that will send back reports about the current political situation in Venezuela. They'll also be looking into social and cultural aspects of the country. Now, Jazz couldn't be here. She's still working on travel arrangements. She may be a little late or she may not make it at all. I'm not counting on it, but we'll see what happens. So on the line from Caracas, Venezuela, is our musical guide, Henry Dartanay. He's with the band La Vida Boheme, one of the country's most popular bands. Henry, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you. The pleasure's mine.
Now, let's just get started. Go right into the music. We cannot talk about Venezuelan music without talking about Simon Diaz. Now, you brought in a song called Sabana. Tell us a little bit about the song and a little bit about Simon Diaz.
Well, Simon Diaz, for someone that, let's say, that doesn't know about our culture, about Venezuelan culture, is one of our most important cultural and folkloric icons. He started making popular songs, you know, like very satiric songs about our situations, social situations. But in time, he evolved into making songs about, you know, very like pastoral, kind of philosophical landscapes in his music. Well, kind of, I think the best way to relate to a person like that doesn't know our culture, it's the what happened with Dylan, you know, the first records of Dylan, The Free Willing. The Free Willing was very social, but when he went on to Blonde on Blonde, although it was very electrical, it also explored very personal themes, you know, that in some way, you know, were a portrait of the Americans. Simon Diaz, as he evolved, he started making these beautiful portraits of our land, like these landscapes. He often called them tonadas. The one I send you guys, it's called Sabana, which I think is the best. If you want to know what a savanna is, what's beautiful about that song is that it actually paints the picture in music of that landscape.
Savanna, savanna, con tu brisa de matranto, tus espejos de laguna. Centinela de palmera que se asoma con la luna. Aquí me quedo contigo, aunque me vaya muy lejos. Como tórtola que vuela y deja el nido en el suelo. No ver más tu amanecer, ni al cimarrón, ni la mata, ni la garza que levanta. Con el cabresto te dejo amarrado mis amores, gota a gota que te cuente mis penas el tinajero. Ya tu arestín mañanero no me mojará los rueros, ni el humo de leña verde para que mis ojos lloren. Mañana cuando me vaya,
te quedarás tan solita. Como becerro sin madre, como morichal sin agua. Sabana. Sabana.
I hear a lot of different things in his music. I hear a very distinct voice, but then the poetry of his lyrics and the poetry of what he's writing about really comes through.
Yeah. The beautiful thing about that song is what we were talking before, for example, I really like about the, well, Occidental Western culture, that Brian Eno, for example, he put a lot of effort into trying to paint these, you know, these very British landscapes, you know, for music, for ambient. And for me, the way I got into Brian Eno actually was through listening to Ana from Simon Diaz, because it's not only what he's saying, but the way he's saying it, it seems like a very ephemeral, like very timeless way, you know. It's like floating, the words, and that's one of the things that that's maybe his most important contribution to our music. The way that poetry and music with him seem to be like there's no distinction between them, and it seems like it's almost a whole painting more than some separate thing.
You know, Henry, when we talk to other musicians about the traditions and their background and their cultural background, a lot of times they reject that tradition as being old-fashioned, as being from their parents' generation. Did you have this similar reaction to Simon Diaz when you were growing up? Did you look away from him for more contemporary sounds and then come back to him as a cultural icon?
Actually, no, because in my house, I think I now can say I'm blessed because of, most of my friends, they were, I actually thought they were pretty lucky, you know, because they grew up listening to, you know, to Black Sabbath, and their parents listened to Led Zeppelin or whatever. But in my case, my parents always, they played merengue, calypso, you know, Simon Diaz. They played a lot of Ali Primera while I was growing up. And for me, while growing up, I felt like, well, my parents aren't as cool as our parents. But as I grew up now, I know that it was actually better, you know, because they never, you know, there was never this distinction that you're listening to folkloric music, you know, like you gotta sit down and, you know, behave. But it was so like natural, you know, in my house, that I think it helped me a lot as I grew up, because I didn't see something to reject, but something, you know, to explore.
In doing research on Venezuela, I've discovered a lot of different, just like with every country and every culture, there are a lot of different styles and a lot of different traditions based on the history of the country. And we're going to jump around in this show a little bit, and we're going to go right to an interesting track that you selected called La Vaca Vieja. And I hear like 1960s cumbia, big band. Is that accurate?
Well, you're right in the time frame. The thing about La Vaca Vieja is a song by Lavillos Caracas Boys. For another person, the thing about Venezuelan culture is that it has many faces. It covers a lot of ground. While Simon Diaz is something like very pastoral, the thing about Lavillos Caracas Boys, which was led by this master, Frometa, he wasn't born in Venezuela. He actually was born in the Dominican Republic. He came to Venezuela because... Yes. He came to Venezuela because, and he fell in love with Venezuela because he said that he loved that people here, he came from a dictatorship, and he said, well, people here gather in the squares and they dance and they laugh and they're very, you know, jovious about life. And you can see that reflected in La Vaca Vieja, which it's probably the soundtrack of all of our parents, you know, 15 years old parties and, you know, sweet 16s. I mean, I forget, you know, in the States, you celebrate the 16. And, you know, like weddings and all those kind of, you know, celebratory moments of our life, I relate them to Lavillos, which is, it's totally different from Simon Diaz, which is very, you know, like, how can you say this, like introspective, while Lavillos is very outspoken and very much about dancing and, you know, having a good time. It also, I think it became in some kind of way, although I related to happy memories, I think Lavillos in some kind of way, even though everyone knows their songs and everybody danced to them and went to the ballrooms, you know, to have a good time with them, it also kind of became a soundtrack of, you know, the silent times. Like, nothing's wrong with the country. Everyone's happy. Well, actually, you know, we had very turbulent times in the 20th century. So it's funny. I picked that song because I related to that, to the celebratory side of my country.
Pa' tomar.
Y la vaca vieja.
Arriba vaca vieja que te traigo yuca pa' cenar.
Y la vaca vieja.
Arriba mi vaquita que te traigo un piano pa' tocar.
Y la vaca vieja.
Arriba vaca vieja que te traigo un baile pa' gozar.
Y la vaca vieja.
Arriba vaca vieja que te traigo un whisky pa' beber. Cuando yo la quiero ordeñar.
Y la vaca vieja.
Arriba vaca vieja que te traigo un carro pa' pasear.
Y la vaca vieja.
Arriba mi vaquita que te traigo hierba pa' comer.
Y la vaca vieja.
Arriba vaca vieja que ahora sí que vamos a guarachear.
Y la vaca vieja.
Vámonos.
What surprises me in doing the show is just to find out just how popular cumbia was all over Latin America. I grew up in the southwest of the United States, where cumbia was very, very big from the influence from Mexico in the 50s and the 60s. And as we do this show, I'm discovering that cumbia was huge all over Latin America.
Well, actually, Caribbean music and Caribbean rhythms, we share a lot alike. You know, we share a lot of information between, you know, for example, Colombia, Venezuela. We have like a lot of our music is very alike in that sense. You know, that the dance music, you know, the traditional dance music, has some very like interesting common points, and I think it has to do a lot with, you know, well, first of all, we're very near. And second of all, I think it's also something that's in our DNA, you know? Even though you could say, like, well, cumbia was popular, I also think, like, even though we didn't know little, we knew little about each other, we kind of, you know, arrived to the same answers and to the same metrics and same rhythms, you know, be it by, you know, the traditional means that, you know, by folk, you know, by culture, you know, passing down by culture. But I also think it has to do a lot with our climate, our DNA, that it's possible that in the Caribbean we have those kind of rhythms, you know, like where that you associate, you know, with cumbia, you know, but they also have a lot of cha-cha-cha. They also have a lot, you know, of all bailong and vals.
So there's an influence in music. There's an influence in style. There's this cross pollination of stuff going on all over the Americas.
Yeah, you could say. Look, anyone from the Caribbean can know that there's this culture of, you know, the cool guy, you know, cooler than cool, the suave guys, you know. and I think it's like very important, you know, the development of cool, because in the end you can't have rock and roll without James Dean. And I think, like, in a way, you can't have the cool guy, you can't have salsa, you can't have Rubén Blades if you don't have Lavillos, you know, if you don't have that kind of guy, you know, that he's the guy that, you know, can't talk to the girl in the room, you know.
Yeah. There's always one guy.
Yeah, so it's I think, like, that's why I chose that song, because in spite of some people, you know, associating it with something like very banal, you know, like just dancing, it has a lot more depth into it, you know. Remember, we're a country that, you know, are economically and socially, it's a very unequal country, you know. We still are, and back then we were. So it was, you know, it said volumes that these guys were dressed like very tied up, you know. Anyone wants to be cool. Anyone wants to be playing with labillos, no matter what you have, where you come from.
Let's move on to another song. There was a track that I was. Hold on a second.
Hi,
Jasmine made it.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Jasmine.
What's up? Sorry, guys. I'm planning my trip.
Are you in Venezuela?
No, I'm planning my trip to Venezuela, which is why I You know, I was running some errands, getting my passport updated. So I guess we're doing a cooking show, right?
Right. We're talking nothing. We're just strictly about food.
No, really. What are we talking about?
We're going to move on. We've just played two tracks, and we're going to move on to something that I found very interesting, a track called El Catire. And this is by a group called Aldemaro Romero y su Onda Nueva. Now, let's play the song a little bit and then talk a little bit about it, because I hear a lot of different things and I want to see if you hear what I hear.
And Henry, these are all Henry's picks?
These are all Henry's picks.
Oh, awesome.
Póngale preparo al muchachito, chiquitico catirecicia, búsquele a como a su niñito, mire que se va a dar una batalla. Mire cómo salta el catire, mire los brincos que da, chico que todavía está chiquito, que será más grande, caray. Bing, bing.
So okay. that sounds very 70s.
Well, you know...
Yeah, so that's the time frame.
You know, I was just listening to... coincidentally, I was just listening to Brazil, Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66 the other night. I found some old albums and I was listening to it. And that's what this track reminded me of, is that whole approach to Brazilian music that has... international flavors to it, other different cultural influences, but it's still very 60s, late 60s, early 70s Brazilian samba jazz. Is that what this group was about?
Well, this group was led by Aldemaro Romero. Aldemaro Romero was a composer, a Venezuelan composer, which he created a genre which is called Onda Nueva. The Onda Nueva was, it became this huge thing, like during the end of the 60s and the 70s, in the here, not only in Venezuela, but in the whole Caribbean, like in whole the whole region, like Latin America, because Aldemaro, what did he took like a lot of influence, our Caribbean influences, you know, like from bossa nova, you know, he took also from calypso, and he took also from, you know, traditional music here in Venezuela, and he made it like very contemporary, or as you say, very international, like, so. Actually, during those times, like, a lot of people had the eyes on Venezuela because of Onda Nueva, because a lot of people were interested into it. It came into a very cool time because, you know, during that same time, you know, as you said, Brazil 66 was happening. And also, during those next few years, Fela Kuti would, you know, release most of his most impressive material, which was also, like, very international in kind of a way, but more political. The thing about Aldemaro Romero is, like we were talking, you know, this suave culture, this cool culture, like, is very intrinsical to Venezuela. It's, like, very elegant.
So, Henry, let me ask you a question, you know, for listeners who want to get more into Venezuelan music. What blogs or websites do you read about Venezuelan music with the latest? You know, is there a program that you listen to other than Alt Latino?
Well, I listen to a lot of Alt Latino, actually.
Good answer.
Here in Caracas, in Venezuela, we have a blog called Cochino Pop, which means the pop pig. Cochinopop.com, which is very cool because the writers, it's like a more critical, you know, approach to music, and they are one of the few blogs that have been, you know, taking care of, you know, trying to make a more critical approach to the new scenes that's happening, which I think, like, for example, in the States, you're very blessed that you have, you know, like, your Robert Kristals, your, you know, your Roger Everts, you know, you have this whole culture of art criticism and culture criticism, which for us is very nascent, actually. There's this guy called Felix Ayueva, which I think is very important, you know, to the understanding of our music and our, more of our music, of the context of our music, which I think is the thing of value of music critics. Felix Ayueva founded one, he made a foundation called Nuevas Bandas. Nuevas Bandas, you could say, it's an institution that has kept almost a chronological order of how things went down, you know, from the very start of pop music until now. And I don't know, I think, like, if you look, internet is very blessed, like, actually, I have the perfect one. I don't know this guy, I don't know who he is, but he has become kind of a legend here in Venezuela. He has a blog called Rock Suela, you know, like rock and the end of Suela of Venezuela. This guy uploaded almost all of the discographies of all the bands that have existed here in our country from the 50s until now. Dude, if you like, it's a sampler's heaven. if you like digging deep into record stores, this is amazing. Because most of these records, they weren't even reissued, like, never. You know, our record companies died a long time ago. And most of the bands, you know, even weren't that popular, or they just, you know, quit music or whatever. So there never was a guy that said, well, let's make a reissue of all these things, you know. So I think it's very important, like, to check that blog out, because there's a lot of hidden gold.
So next up, we're going to listen to something by a band called Todos Santos. Tell me more about that band.
Well, actually, Todos Santos is a band which, because of them, I started making music. Actually, I was 15 years old. And this is a period of time in Venezuela that not a lot of people talk about, because you actually, when they speak about, you know, rock music in Venezuela or whatever, they will speak about the 80s, you know, the new wave era of our rock music, or, you know, the more rock and roll of the end of the 90s. But we had a very prosperous electronica scene at the end of 2000s. During that period of time, a lot of kids, you know, started, like, making IDM. You know, it was like a natural response to the other electronic currents that were happening. You know, kids that were getting, you know, these records from Warp and all those catalogs, they started, you know, trying to chip in, you know. And Todos Santos was one of them. It was a band. When I first saw Todos Santos, I was 15 years old. And I remember that clearly. I thought I was lost. I thought that there was no chance in hell I would get, you know, to hear bands in here in Venezuela that loved, you know, The Clash as much as I loved them, or loved Joy Division or that kind of stuff, you know, like being absolutely pathetic, you know, in a very stupid way. And I remember going to see them live, and they opening their show with these visuals filled with cassettes, well, with all these names of these bands and all these records and all this stuff, like, you could relate to. You could say, like, whoa, I grew up listening to that, and no one here knows about it. And they were amazing. They were the first Venezuelan band, you know, like, to actually, for me, to open the doors and say, like, it's not about what you hear, you know, from outside, it's how you translate it inside.
I heard a musical connection between Todos Santos and Aldemaro Romero in approach to the music, and not necessarily because they're both kind of mellow and laid back in little ways, but there are a lot of textures, a lot of musical textures to each group, and they all point to different things because they come from different decades.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Actually, I was listening to it, you know, I listened to that song a lot growing up, and there's a, for me, sending you those songs to you guys, like, late last night was amazing, because it meant for me, like, listening to a lot of songs I spent, like, a lot of time not listening to. And actually, the connection for me, it took me back to, you know, the first song you put in the show of Simon Diaz, you know, Savannah. And that kind of, you know, like you said, with the connection of Aldemaro Romero, the texture, you know? It's more about, it's not so much about the song, it's not so much... You know what I mean? It's not like he covers verse, but as much as the atmosphere you're creating all through it, and it takes me back, you know, to, I can see almost the buildings, you know, of each time in my city, in my hometown in Caracas, by listening to the songs, you know, by listening to Simon Diaz, you're in the field, but listening to Aldemar Romero, you are, you know, you almost feel like you're in uptown, you know, Caracas, you know, in the best, most elegant restaurant, you know, with the most beautiful lady. And you listen to Los Santos and you actually, you know, it takes me back to the Caracas I knew, which actually all those buildings that were amazing and elegant were now, you know, tearing apart. And all those beautiful ladies, you know, they were no longer here. And, you know, it was very empty, very lonely, you know. It's the same city, but it changed. It changed, you know, the layers of it.
Well, Henry, I wanted to ask you, I'm interested in what you were saying about, you know, finding finally a rock band, and you didn't think at that age, when you were 15, that anyone else listened to rock music. When I was in Puerto Rico recently, I interviewed a couple of musicians, and one of the questions I had was, I mean, how segregated is the music scene? I know that in a lot of Latin America, you know, you either listen to salsa, or you're a rock kid, or you're a rap kid, and a lot of times it has a lot to do with, like, socioeconomics. How is that in Venezuela? Like, is it a mixed scene, or is it everyone kind of doing their own thing separately?
Well, actually, you know, with time, one changes one's perspective, you know, about how you perceive yourself in the culture you're in, you know. At first, when I was 15, I only listened to punk rock, you know. And for me, listening to The Clash was the first time someone, you know, I was speaking to Felix earlier, you know, about growing up in my house, they didn't play, like, any rock music, you know, but not because they didn't like it, but because my mom enjoyed dancing, and they put, you know, they put merengue, they put Simon Diaz, they put this kind of stuff. So when I heard The Clash, I heard them playing reggae, I heard them playing, you know, like, saying these genres are also cool, you know? It can be very, I felt like I was very dumb before listening to The Clash, because I felt like, well, I am only going to listen to punk rock and heavy metal, which is like a very Western, you know, thing to say for a Venezuelan kid. And suddenly hearing The Clash and having these, you know, British guys saying, like, these genres from all over the world are also cool. And, you know, there's also a way of playing them, which can, you know, which you can understand or whatever. And from that on, I started opening my mind towards, you know, to my music, you know, and I started, like, not seeing things, like, as separate, you know, as little cultures, because, well, that is very classical of punk rock, you know, that feeling of us versus the world or whatever. But it, for the first time, I saw, like, well, this is kind of idiotic, me saying, you know, trying to create a community surrounding a foreign idea, you know. And for the first time, I started, you know, I remember, like, I used to take, like, a lot of taxis, you know, to my high school, because my parents couldn't take me to school. And I met this taxi driver, which he loved salsa, you know? And he was the first person that he put on to me a Rubén Blades records, you know, Maestra Vida, which is a kind of an opera, if, for those that don't know about it. And he literally sat me down and said, like, do you have, like, 10 minutes? And I was like, yeah, well, look, This is a story. Don't see it as salsa. Don't see it as something, you know, like, it doesn't belong to you. It actually belongs more to you than to anyone. And we sat through and listened to the record, you know. And for the first time, I realized, like, this has so much value. And, like, all the people that's making rock music around me, they don't see it, you know. They don't see how much potential, how much of our things are there, how much of our roots. So I think, like, if social and economical division, it was self-imposed, you know, like, we, like, middle class and upper middle class made salsa look like something that was, how do you say, ajeno, like, foreign to them, you know?
And I think that's something that really has always been problematic for me, because I love Latin rock. Obviously, I host this show, but I also love bachata and I love salsa. And there is definitely, like, an association of you know, like, a certain elitism, you know, and which is ridiculous, because, I mean, when you fuse, when a band, like, I don't know, like, I'm thinking of, like, Café Tacuba, or even, you know, you guys have done a really good job at actually of fusing. It sounds beautiful. And when you don't, you have to be careful that it doesn't sound like a knockoff, you know, that Latin rock doesn't sound like a knockoff of English language rock.
more than a knockoff, I think like it has two. I love philosophy. I love Wittgenstein. Wittgenstein used to say that every problem has two ends facing each other as extreme and opposed to each other as one can be. And there's one problem. If Latin rock has a problem, is that one extreme might be that of becoming too elite, to a sense of rejecting its own roots, and the other of actually not embracing them but using them as much until the point it becomes quiche, you know, that it's like almost kind of a mockery, even though it's not made with the intent of being done like that. I think we have a responsibility, which is very, very, very important, is to understand our culture enough to make songs that can translate into the world and show that for the world to understand our roots without them seeming, you know, like something, you know, clownish or gimmicky, you know, trying to translate the world who we are, because we are very complex, a complex people, a complex country. And if we do not understand them, we will never be able to translate them.
Well, another artist that might help us translate that or understand the country is someone you picked. Ulises Hajis is on your list. And we have the song Sin Caer.
Piensa en perder después de la gloria. Hay tanto que perder, hay mucho que no ver. Sube al ring sin saber. Sube al ring sin saber.
About the song, why you chose it and what it means to you.
Well, Ulises, he's a professor at the University of Maracaibo. He teaches philosophy. He's a very good friend of mine. I think Ulises is very important to a lot of the writing in Venezuelan music. Sometimes it's being overlooked and people, you know, kind of get stuck in only the formal aspect. And I think Ulises is one of the few, you know, singer-songwriters which, you know, encapsulate something like, well, we have something to say about this country too, you know. We're men of words. We have to speak some.
Actually, I ran into Ulises at South by Southwest, and it was such a pleasure talking to him because, you know, I studied philosophy in Argentina, and you know, now I do music journalism. So somebody who can talk about philosophy and music is just really, it's really amazing. And so he was talking to me a little bit about, you know, obviously Venezuela right now is going through a very tumultuous time, you know, a time of huge change. And I was wondering, I mean, are musicians talking about that right now? Have any songs been made since the death of President Hugo Chavez? I mean, how are musicians responding?
You know, that's a hard question because, for example, if we were to live in a country, let's imagine a country where using, you know, yellow shirts was prohibited, and you suddenly formed a band that made a song, you know, like saying wearing a yellow shirt is the sexiest thing or whatever. You suddenly, without, you know, looking for it, it would be political. It would be a political statement. Right now in Venezuela, I think, like, there are some artists that are, you know, treating the subject more directly. And others, without them knowing, are also talking about it, you know. Because you can't avoid it. It's politics here in our country. They take a lot of our living space, even though if we wouldn't want them to. I think it's in a degree it's not fair, but it's something that is it's our reality. And I can see, like, a lot of my friends, you know, that say, like, well, we're not political, but I listen to their music, and even they don't notice it. They're talking about political things, you know. The moment you talk about the death of your friends, you know, because of the insecurity, the moment you talk, you know, about how difficult it is to love someone, you know, just because you can go out in the streets and walk, you know, safely at night, that puts a condition in, you know, condiciona the way you live your life. And if you know how to write, you're going to reflect that on.
Well, Henry, thank you so much for bringing songs. And I asked you to bring five in, and you sent us a long list of, I think, at least 30 songs. But these five songs that I picked from your list were very reflective of the different styles and the different eras of Venezuela. But we want to finish with one of your songs from your new album. And I picked the song Angelitos Negros.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can you tell us about this song, the name of the album, and when you guys will be traveling here in the United States to promote the album?
Our album is called Será. I think a lot of this album has to do a lot with the uncertainty that we're currently living in the country. And I think, like, Será is actually a very beautiful thing, you know, a very beautiful word to summarize what's happening here in Venezuela, because we actually don't know what would happen, but it will happen and we will have to deal with it. Angelitos Negros, actually, it was a poem by Píntame Angelitos Negros. Was a poem by a Venezuelan poet called Andrés Eloy Blanco. It talks about the injustice of only there being, you know, in only white angels. Why no one is painting black angels? Well, if we're from the Caribbean, if we're from here, and you know, this is the color of our skin, why do we enter churches and they're all white?
So, Henry, thank you so much for speaking to us today. I'm sorry that I only caught the end of the conversation, because it was very interesting, but better late than never, right?
No, thank you guys, actually, for me, the opportunity. I think, like, speaking to someone that it's not from your country about your own folk or your own costumes, it helps you understand your art and your where you come from more. So I thank you, because actually, if it weren't for you guys, I spent a whole night, you know, I haven't slept. I spent last night, you know, looking for songs and looking for stuff and trying to say, like, well, what what would I want to show to someone that didn't know my customs, my folk music? So I thank you.
We want to remind our listeners that you can hear each one of the songs that we played today in its entirety on our website at npr.org/altlatino. And also, our stream this week is featuring Venezuelan music, and it's made up from the list that Henry stayed up all night and labored over. And it covers traditional, it covers 60s music, 70s, 80s, 90s, rock, electronica, all kinds of stuff. So that's on our stream. You can also find that on our website at npr.org/altlatino. We also want to thank the engineer in Caracas, Leonel Carmona, for helping us bring Henry to us here in Washington, D.C. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I am the often late but always here, Jasmine Garst.
This has been Alt Latino.